This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, to New South Wales, Sydney. Jeremy Zakas reporting on La Nina, the weather system that has dominated Australia's phenomenon the last 2 years, and La Nina bringing buckets of rain, unpredictable snow and cold. And now, Jeremy, a very good day to you. Has La Nina gone, or is it retiring to get stronger? Can you tell? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. Well, as I speak, La Nina is gone. It is a beautiful, clear day outside right now. We're hitting the mid 15 degrees Celsius to 20 degrees Celsius. So we're talking 70 to 80 Fahrenheit. And there's been no rain this week and no wind. But this isn't the end of it. It certainly looks like La Nina is retiring, pulling back right now and regaining strength, because the big thing the scientists brought out this week to us was La Nina's abated. We all thought, great, we can get outside now. We've got normal weather patterns. But there was a big but to it. It's coming back this spring. So spring for us is really only about 60 days away. So we have two whole months where La Nina might not be what we've seen in the past 2 years, where we've seen the floods, the high winds, the snow, the icy, icy rain. We might get 2 months of reprieve, but John, it's getting back for another counterpunch. And this will be the triple play. This will be number three.
And right now, your situation in Sydney is not in a, you're not in a bad situation, right? The roads are open. The reservoirs have kept back the waters, and you have reason to believe you're going to have a good 60 days and the rest of winter. Is that correct?
That's correct, John. And the great thing is, with 60 days of fine weather, it looks like all those properties that were damaged in the northern New South Wales area, which is up near the border of Queensland and the northern state of Queensland, they will get a reprieve. So there's a chance now that some of those flood damaged areas from even 12 months ago that haven't been repaired due to the onslaught of rain and flooding that continued, they now may get a chance to actually come back and be repaired. But the problem is, John, this is all about predictions and mathematical equations and trying to figure out what the weather does based on cycles. But the one thing we've known about La Nina, the one thing we've known about the last year, at least here in Australia, the cycles and the predictions have not been that strong. And it's because La Nina, with the Indian Ocean Dipole and the polar surge that we had just a month ago that came up from the south, has thrown all those original calculations out of whack. So the scientists' prediction that La Nina will come back in 2 months may just as easily be incorrect as correct. We may get it earlier, or, you know, we could get lucky. It could come again a little bit later.
A week ago, Jeremy was momentarily in the dark. The electricity was not reliable. I read now, the Australian Energy Market Operator, affectionately called AEMO, A-E-M-O, has restored the national electricity market to full operation, with spot trading restored from 2 p.m., lifting a week-long suspension. Does this mean your lights are on and they're going to stay on? I don't understand, Jeremy. How can a country so rich in energy be in the dark?
They are on, and it looks like they will at least stay on for the interim period. And John, this is amazing that it only took a week for the federal government to give back control to the same energy companies that basically ran the energy market into the ground in the first place and caused what's effectively an artificial crisis. And the artificiality part is that the energy was there to be produced. They had enough supply to produce the energy to supply the eastern states. But due to the spot price not being at a profitable level for these companies, they turned it off, or they turned off some of the electricity generation about a week and a half ago, which is why we got that crisis. Now, scoot forward to right now, which is a week and a half later, those same companies are now back in the same market with the same spot price, looking for the same profits. And from what we understand, the federal government is looking to try and fix the market. They are looking to review and make some changes, but that's not here and now, John. We're still in the middle of a winter. And while, you know, we don't have the La Nina problem right now requiring us to have a lot more heating, as we start to go into the springtime and as we start to go into the summer and we start turning on our air conditioning for cooling, we're going to be using a lot more energy again in the country, which means these same companies, unless the market's fixed, could basically price gouge again. They could basically be looking to do the same sort of thing where they restrict power supply until they get the spot price up to the right mark. So John, we're in this weird state again where nothing has been fixed. We've got the lights on, but we've just got this sort of Damocles hanging out over our head with the energy. We don't know if it's going to last.
These are coal-fired electric generating plants, correct, Jeremy?
They're mostly coal-fired. There are some oil in the system as well, and we do have solar power as well, but they are all coming from natural resources apart from the, uh, or resources from the ground apart from the solar winds. And that's our main bread and butter when it comes to generation. And the funny thing is, John, as we all thought initially during this crisis, we thought the inability to get it out of the ground to the power plants was the problem. But no, in fact, it was actually the companies themselves turning it off that was the problem. So it was all there. But these are, yeah, mostly coal and oil.
Now we go to Perth, which I understand is another galaxy from where you are in Sydney. It's Western Australia. It's Indian Ocean regarding. Perth has reported a blackout in the city. Darkness visible. Unusual power outage. Is this the same problem you've had or another kind of problem?
This was a weird one, John. This happened on Monday in the Perth CBD. And what happened, we'd just come off the weekend where we had this massive power crisis that was abated. The federal government had control of the power grid. And then all of a sudden at around 7:30, 7:45 a.m. in the morning, so just as people are starting to go to work, Perth lost all its power. The whole CBD just went straight into a blackout, and major corporations and major businesses were unable to open because there was a blackout. So immediately people thought that what's happened here, the energy market isn't really fixed. The federal government has lost control again. We're about to head into a crisis. As it turns out, though, after much, much investigation by authorities, the thing that actually left everybody without power in Perth was a foil air balloon. And I mean, this is something that you don't hear about nowadays. Foil air balloons are not something people generally fly for recreation, you know, remote control modelers. The foil isn't an air balloon that they use for the weather balloon. So a mysterious foil balloon had actually driven itself into power lines and managed to short the entire CBD grid out. So we had another power crisis in Australia, John, but nothing I'd seen before and certainly not linked to the other one.
I'm looking at a photograph of downtown Perth. There's a sharp looking city. It looks like it's been completely constructed in the last 30 years. Is that correct? I mean, these are all new buildings.
Oh, funny you should mention that. Perth has gone a real uptick in business and boom with the mining cycle. So this is a very, very new city. So about the past 30 years is really where we've seen most of the development. So as you can see in the photos of Perth, it is one of our newest cities. It's certainly still booming. It's still developing, but it's a very fresh looking city. And it's not the largest population by far. It's around about a million. So it means there's a lot of space for people to enjoy this city. But you can imagine without power one morning, that drives absolutely crazy.
Power is part of the story of the present crisis in Ukraine. It's also part of the story of what can be described as a confrontation between Canberra and Beijing, especially over coal, although Jeremy reminds me, steel was a major export for Australia to China until the unhappiness. But there's a third member of the export that is now in question, wine. Jeremy, you're from Adelaide originally. The vineyards of Australia are in and around Adelaide. Very good wine. America likes it a lot. I can't imagine the Chinese don't like it. So what's happened?
Well, John, this is something that's absolutely devastating to us because not only do we enjoy consuming wine ourselves, that's why we probably have some of the best vineyards in the world here, we also export it, and it is an absolutely lucrative trade. We export it not only to China, as you said, we export it to the US and around the world, but unfortunately, China was one of our biggest export partners to the tune of about $1.2 billion per year. So we're talking about $1 billion US, which now has basically been dissolved. China, in the spat over the South China Sea, over the spat with coal and steel, has also taken away their importing of our wine. So right now, Australia is $1 billion US poorer each year because there's no wine going to China. And it's gotten so bad. And I think this is the key part to the story here, John, that this week, Australia's wine trade body, Wine Australia, has announced that it's actually going to close its permanent office in Shanghai. There's no reason for it to be there. There's not enough business. And this is dangerous in some ways for the wine market here because they can't just turn that office back on straight away. It means that this will probably be an ongoing problem for maybe the next 2, 3, 4, even 5 years, or even longer if this spat with China continues. So, John, I mean, it's great for us. We have all this wine left in Australia now, so I guess we'll never have those wine shortages we saw with COVID. But the reality is we're not making that $1 billion in wine that we're used to.
Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales. La Nina gone for the moment, but springtime could bring its return. Electricity is on in Sydney. There's good news. In Perth, was on, is on. And the wine embargo by China is part of a much larger and very dangerous story of China confronting Australia. We're going to turn to reptiles next, so fair warning, we're talking about the second most deadly land snake in the world, the eastern brown. Jeremy Zakas, I'm John Batchelor.